The nuclear industry is showing new signs of life. Two different companies are hoping to build factories to make uranium fuel for nuclear power plants. If built, these factories would be the first so-called uranium enrichment operations built in the United States in half a century. They'll also resurrect a top-secret technology that the U.S. government abandoned behind locked doors 17 years ago. NPR's Dan Charles reports.
To split an atom and release nuclear energy, you need an atom that splits easily, like uranium-235. But getting uranium-235 means separating it from a much more common, slightly heavier kind of uranium. During the Second World War, when American scientists were racing to build an atomic bomb, they tried two different methods for separating the two kinds of uranium. In one, says nuclear consultant John Longenecker, they converted uranium into a gas, then fed it through a series of spinning tubes, centrifuges.
The uranium-235, being lighter, would stay to the inside of the centrifuge, and the uranium-238 would go to the outside.
The end product was supposed to be uranium with a high concentration of the lighter atoms, so-called enriched uranium. That's what you need for nuclear fuel or a bomb. Other scientists tried pumping uranium through miles of filters, sifting and resifting the atoms to separate the heavier ones from the lighter ones. That system, known as gaseous diffusion, succeeded first.
It won the race back in the 1940s to produce the kilogram quantities of highly enriched uranium which were needed for weapons.
The U.S. government spent billions on enormous gaseous diffusion plants in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Ohio. But the centrifuge, the technological road not taken, keeps coming back to haunt them. In the late 1950s, an Austrian scientist named Gernot Zippy arrived from Russia with a strange tale. Zippy had been in a Soviet prison camp. He claimed that in that camp he'd designed and built a uranium enrichment centrifuge for the Russians. American officials asked him to prove it, to build it again for them. Zippy built them a thin, light cylinder, spinning like a perfectly balanced top. American scientist Dean Waters saw that machine for the first time in 1960.
It only was about a foot long, weighed less than a pound, spun at 90,000 RPM.
And it enriched uranium as quickly as a 600-pound centrifuge that the U.S. had built during World War II. The U.S. government promptly stamped Zippy's work secret, then hired hundreds of scientists, including Dean Waters, and told them to make the Zippy centrifuge even better. $4 billion poured into the effort. By 1985, 1,000 powerful centrifuges, 40-foot-tall cylinders, filled half of a huge new building near Portsmouth, Ohio. Then, says Dean Waters, the Department of Energy pulled the plug.
In one sense, it was not a surprise because it was very clear after Three Mile Island that the need for new enriching services in the United States had suddenly declined. On the other hand, it was a shock that the decision was to completely cancel a project.
The half-built plant in Portsmouth became a mausoleum.
The doors were shut, the power was shut off, the water was shut off, and the machines are still there. I mean, they're intact.
17 years later, only one of the big gaseous diffusion plants is still running, and it's getting old and expensive to operate. In fact, half the enriched uranium in American power plants these days doesn't come from there. Instead, the company that runs the plant, the U.S. Enrichment Corporation, buys uranium that's been taken from Russian nuclear weapons and resells it to U.S. utilities. Earlier this year, the company, known as USEC, managed to negotiate a new deal with the Russians, allowing the company to buy that uranium for lower prices. But the company still wants to replace its old enrichment plant. And in June, USEC announced plans to bring the U.S. centrifuge back to life. The company hired Dean Waters to help lead the effort.
The difficulty is re-remembering what you knew 17 years ago does take a fair amount of effort going back.
But the necessary knowledge, he thinks, will come back quickly. Rebuilding factories to manufacture centrifuges, though, will take years. Some observers say USEC can't afford to wait that long. It'll lose out to competitors. Because Gernot Zippy's exquisite little centrifuges inspired the Europeans as well. A company called Urenco has been operating centrifuge enrichment plants in Europe for many years now. They're the most efficient plants in the world. And Urenco announced this summer that it also wants to build a centrifuge plant in the U.S., working with a consortium called Louisiana Energy Services, or LES. The announcement pits the American and European descendants of the original Zippy centrifuge against each other. And both seem confident they'll win. USEC's Executive Vice President Dennis Spurgeon says the Europeans never caught up with the technology the U.S. abandoned in 1985.
The machine that Urenco is running today is a machine that's about the same sort of capacity as the U.S. centrifuge program was in about 1967.
On the other hand, Julian Stein from the consulting group Energy Resources International says Urenco's centrifuges have been spinning for decades, not sitting in vaults.
Nobody has any idea about the reliability of the U.S. machines. You'd have to bet on LES being up and running first.
Stein says the European-led venture also has deeper pockets than USEC. USEC, he says, may need financial aid from the U.S. government, and he suspects the company may get it. Because if USEC can't manage to bring the American centrifuge back from the dead, the United States could become totally dependent on foreign technology to make the material that makes nuclear power possible. Dan Charles, NPR News, Washington.